Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being, with Julia Gordon-Bramer on News Talk STL.
Welcome to Mystic Fix. I am Julia Gordon-Bramer. I'm an author, a poet, a scholar of mysticism, and a professional tarot card reader. Today is our 22nd episode of Mystic Fix. Can hardly believe it. It is in alignment with the World card, which is success, completion, and self-actualization in the tarot. It is the last card of the tarot's major arcana. And I'm really excited to align it with author Chris Franken, who wrote a book called Wild-Hearted Purpose that you're going to hear about in a minute. So let's meet Chris. I'm talking to author Chris Franken. She has just put out Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. Chris has books, cards, meditations, poems, courses, and programs. She is an author, mentor, and way shower. She writes of delicious words, soulful community, radical love, and living on purpose. I love that. There are so many ways I could go with this. welcome.
Thank you so much, Julia. Thank you for having me here.
Yes. And we should say you are all the way in Australia. Tell us about this exciting new book, Wild-Hearted Purpose. I have looked it over and I've got a lot of really cool observations without having actually read it, but give us a feeling, an introduction for it.
Okay. Wild-Hearted Purpose has been inspired by a few different things that have been going on in my life in the last few years. I became a soul purpose mentor for many clients, and I was helping people really, instead of helping people or coaching people to find like the 5-year plan and the financial kind of security, I was more like, hey, what's your heart saying? And hey, what brings you bliss and joy? And so I was really mentoring people to find their bliss and to really tap into their purpose. And what I was finding were just so many gems that were coming through in sessions with these clients that I really wanted to share with everyone. It wasn't specific for each person. Sometimes it was something that felt like it was a global shift or something that felt like a lot of women were moving through at the same time. And so I thought, I wonder if these little nuggets could weave themselves together and form an actual book. At the same time, I was being nudged to move from the suburbs in Byron Bay out into the hinterland. And while I was, well, just after I finished actually writing the book, we moved a week later to 40 acres of rainforest, which we've been looking after for a year now. So those two things coming together really felt like, okay, I think Mother Gaia is really guiding this process and I want her to guide the book. So the book is really centered around experiences within her and what we can learn from nature.
Yeah. So do you see yourself as being pagan then, or are you just sort of feeling your way through it with no rules? That's the latter is kind of what I'm getting from you.
Yeah, I really do feel like I'm a bit of everything. I was brought up in the church. And so, you know, there's even bits of the Bible that I relate to really deeply. Pagan is definitely where I'm at. I love following the seasons. I love following, like really listening deeply to what nature, what the elements are telling me, to really like bow down into those moments in the equinoxes and, you know, those really pivotal moments throughout the wheel of the year. And so pagan, yeah, but I'm definitely a no rules kind of gal. I'm a bit of a wild-hearted rebel. I love to do things my own way. I'm very independent in that manner.
I read on your website, you say, I'm a whole lot of sacred with a healthy dose of irreverence. I thought that was fun.
I like to learn from a whole bunch of different lineages, but in the end, I just take what really resonates with me, and then I just work that into my rituals and my daily life.
You're also, you consider yourself to be a seer. You know, you're not just earth woman. You channel, correct? You've got a definite connection to source energy. Your first book was The Call of Intuition, How to Recognize and Honor Your Intuition, Instinct, and Insight. You're a lovely writer. as I've glanced over, and I mean, it really, you've got a gift of the words. Is God in nature? Do you call it God? Do you call it spirit? Do you call it source?
Yeah, I like to use the term spirit, great spirit. I talk to mother. I talk to the goddess. Sometimes it feels like it's all the same thing. And sometimes actually I feel like I'm talking to different aspects of source energy. But I think the seer and the psychic gifts really unraveled when I was 40, which is almost 6 years ago when I did my Reiki 1 and 2 training. It really opened something up in me, and I could start to see things in people, in animals, and, you know, where to direct the energy healing. And then that started to really come out through my whole life, just seeing different things in kids and friends and being able to sense the energy in nature. So I think it's a great question what you asked is, you know, nature brings out the spiritual in me, and also just, you know, in meditation, really developing that the psychic gifts and really tapping into them and honoring and trusting them has really also enabled me to connect more deeply with nature. So it's mm-hmm. this beautiful symbiotic relationship, I think, that a lot of spiritual people have, and we all have those psychic gifts, and they all kind of come to us in different ways. And when I really hone in on, you know, the fact that I can see things, but they're very faint. So I'm clairvoyant. I'm a medium. I can talk to beloveds who have passed away, but also I can't access all of them. Usually they come to me to pass on a message to their human beloved. It doesn't always work the other way around. Sometimes I just feel like if I can't access someone that I can't. So it's a real mixed bag that I have of the spiritual and the psychic gifts that have been unraveling, I guess, through my whole life, but mostly since I turned 40. And that has really helped to deepen my connection with the land here, because there is so much indigenous energy here. And on my first morning that I woke up living in this house, to be able to connect with the indigenous spirits that I could see all around me was so profound and so moving. And ever since then, having a devotion to really wanting to protect this land for them, but feeling that also come back. They really want to protect us because we're honoring them and the land. That's been a really big shift for me. And now I can see that in my clients where they live. So it's this wonderful flow on effect that comes to me from all directions. And I love it. I can't predict it, but I love it.
Yeah. So you were born in Canada though.
Yes.
But it sounds like you were just meant to be in Australia. Australia called you and you answered, right? I can't imagine from the way you're talking, I can't imagine you could live anywhere else.
No, I feel so, so deeply at home here. I have my parents live in Australia. So does my brother. I have a lot of relatives in Canada who I miss a lot, but I'm connected to the Indigenous in Canada through my mum's family. So that's been a really beautiful blessing as well. And feeling that yearning to go home to Toronto where I was born, or to Winnipeg where my parents were born, and to really connect in with the Indigenous there is something that I would love to do. But at the same time, I feel like my calling is to be here and to connect to all the beings of this land here. And then as a way shower, almost like give permission for other people to have their own access to all of that or whatever is meant for them.
Yeah. So getting back to the idea of purpose, I mean, I'm also a professional tarot card reader and I get that question all the time. What is my true purpose? What should I be doing? Where should I be going? And It seems like how very hard to just say follow your bliss. That truly is the answer for every one of us, I think. But a lot of people aren't even conscious of what their bliss is, and they're caught up in so much of the daily, you know, day-to-day mundane thing. Are you saying that nature helps people to find that bliss?
I really do. I really believe that. I feel like nature helps us to tune more into ourselves, because if we can tune into nature, when we welcome the elements and tune in to the wind, what is the wind telling me? Is the wind representing something in my mind? What can I tune in? Is the rain coming down? Is the rain relentless? So what's going on with my emotions? How does this make me feel when it's raining for weeks and weeks and weeks on end? And when the sun comes out, you know, do I feel the fire in my being rejoice? Do I feel more creative in my senses? Do I feel there are so many ways that we can use nature, and quite often it's subconscious or unconscious the way we can spend time in nature. Even if we just went away for a weekend in nature and then came home again, we feel more ourselves, and often we can't really explain why. And then subtle or big changes can occur the more time we spend in nature. In our lives, we think, well, why is that friendship falling apart? Or why am I drawn to a certain group of people and what they have to offer? And why am I suddenly doing this hobby on the side or learning Reiki? Or things start to happen, and nature has a way of holding us as that unfolds. So whether it's a conscious connection to the elements, to our bare feet on the ground, to our favorite places in nature and what they light up within us, it can also be subliminal, it can be subtle, but both to me are really quite profound. And I guess that's why I really wanted to write the book, because like you say, you can say to people, follow your bliss, take time to find out who you are and follow your bliss. Not only are some people blocked from doing that, but that can be quite traumatic. I don't feel like it's safe to really go within. There's a lot of inner child wounding. And so it's really good to have one-on-ones with beautiful, heartfelt mentors or psychics or friends or people who can hold that space for you to really find out who you are.
Yeah, I never thought of somebody being even afraid to open up like that. I think a lot of people go to psychics and say, fix me. you know, my therapist couldn't do it. Maybe you can tell me just that the thing to do. And it must be incredibly frustrating to them to get the answer. It's your work. You know, we're all on our individual paths there. You give tools in your book to find the individual path, right? We've got all kinds of practices with soul prompts. We've got rituals. We've got what you call journeys. Could you explain some of those a little bit?
Yeah, sure. The journeys came to me quite unintentionally. I was trying to explain a point at the beginning of my writing process, and I thought, you know what? A metaphor is going to be perfect for this. Instead of saying, stop doing what everyone else is doing, stop following other people, I was like, what if I explain it like you're walking along a really crowded, paved road, and something within you says, let's take some time off the paved road. Let's see where the grass takes us, where there's no path, where there's wildflowers, where there's tall trees, where there's fresh air. What would we find in ourselves that we can't find on the paved, busy, crowded, noisy road or pathway? And essentially that's where the whole book started. I was trying to explain this idea of being not just a rebel and not just being stubborn, but actually of actively listening and honoring what it is that we need, rather than being so caught up with what everyone else is doing or what our family's doing or what our business is doing that we'd lose ourselves. And it's really quite common. So that, I guess, metaphor, that idea turned into a journey. And after the journey, I was able to explain what I wanted to share with people. Like if I was to sit down with someone heart to heart, and how would I explain that? So then I thought, it came up again, and I thought, I'm going to just share this in another journey. So there are journeys in the middle of storms. There are journeys with horses. There are journeys in valleys and caves and crystals and rainbows and overgrown vines, and how frustrating it can be to work with vines in nature. There are waterways and beaches. I love the idea of using stories because it appeals to archetypes. It appeals to the subconscious mind. It appeals to people who don't like advice given to them in a book, but they want to experience something different for themselves. So I wanted to create that. But then I found at the end of the journey and the end of the idea, I wanted to also help them embody it. And so the soul prompts, the rituals, the journaling, it's all to help people embody what they're learning or what they took. They might have taken something from that story that I would have never intended, or I would be so surprised and so happy to hear something different was taken from that story. And then they get to journal with it and they really get to embody that. And that's the first step, I think, of putting into practice. Well, why am I here? Well, how about I just start with this little ritual here, this little altar here, this little soul prompt here. And it's one step at a time. It's day by day that we actually get to fulfill and create our soul purpose.
Yeah, which is, of course, one step at a time is how we all have to do it. None of us are blasted there in a moment. Chris, is there if somebody wanted to work with you, in Australia, I'm sure there's the time difference if we're in the States over here. How can they find you? What kind of services do you offer?
At the moment, I still do one-on-one mentoring, which I really love. That's all on my website. The website's chrisfranken.com, K-R-I-S-F-R-A-N-K-E-N. And you can book really easily with me to have a one-on-one. I will have some more courses coming out this year. They'll probably land on Insight Timer. I have meditations available for free on Insight Timer. And there'll be retreats if anyone is in the US and wants to visit Byron Bay and come on retreat with me. Yeah, there's going to be
some. Sign me up.
Yeah. So if you look on my website, there's a whole bunch of ways to connect with me. I'm on Instagram. I'm not on a whole lot of social media. So it would be lovely to connect.
That was author Chris Franken, who wrote the book Wild-Hearted Purpose. Stay tuned for segment 2 of Mystic Fix, where we're going to meet J. Ellen Cross, who wrote The Witch's Guide to the Paranormal. Welcome back to Mystic Fix. Now let's meet author J. Ellen Cross, who wrote The Witch's Guide to the Paranormal, How to Investigate, Communicate, and Clear Spirits. Welcome, J. Ellen Cross.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Jay is a practicing folk witch and paranormal investigator. He serves as psychic medium and occult specialist on a well-known investigative team out of the Portland metro area. That's Portland, Oregon, right?
Yes.
Okay. He enjoys working as a consultant for other teams and spiritual workers, exploring haunted and abandoned places and writing about the paranormal. And that last point is really why you're here, because you have this incredible book, The Witch's Guide to the Paranormal, How to Investigate, Communicate, and Clear Spirits, with Llewellyn Publishers. So I think first off, I have to ask you, why the witch's guide? Why not the average person?
See, something that I found in my writing career is that I really, for some reason, have this need to just take two very different worlds that people don't think go together and then just smash them together, or I guess build a bridge between them with the book. And I find that we as witches, we spend a lot of time working with energy. We spend a lot of time working with spirits. We spend a lot of time working with getting comfortable in kind of some of the darker, scarier places as well. And when we do paranormal investigation, I think the biggest thing that's lacking is being able to interact in a way where we can influence spirits, but also to help them and to do something with the hauntings, which is more of a spiritual aspect of paranormal investigation, which we don't often see. We often see people try to approach it from a very scientific place, which I think has its benefits. But at the end of the day, what I was seeing was a lot of paranormal investigation teams were coming in and being like, with a family that needs help, and they just come in, they like snap a bunch of pictures and are like, cool, have a great time, and then leave. But I think that witches have this enormous toolkit to be able to come in, not only communicate with the spirits that are happening there, but also then do something to help, whether that's crossing over a spirit that might be stuck here and needs help, or maybe getting rid of something that is a harmful spirit in the home, or whatever it is. I think that we have so much to offer in paranormal investigation in a way that hasn't happened yet.
So. I mean, I think we're all familiar with all those Discovery Channel ghost hunter shows, you know, and it's more about how cool it is to catch it on, you know, their EVPs and their meters and their whatever. But you're right. It doesn't really address the spiritual, or not usually. What's your story? How did you get into this?
Oh, wow. So I actually started doing this work when I was in high school. I was about 15 or 16 years old. I'm from a very small town in Northeast Oregon. And my mom had kind of been doing some work as an animal communicator. She's a pet psychic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was still a time and it was still a place in which we kind of kept what we do under wraps a little bit, but in a small town, you know, stuff goes around pretty quickly. So my mom was, you know, helping people, like escorting them to like put an animal down so that she could kind of communicate with them through the process, things like that. And so people started coming to her and being like, well, you know, you're psychic. I have a haunted house. Can you come and check it out? And she's like, I don't do that. However, my son speaks to dead people. So maybe you want to go talk to him. And so I'm like 15, 16, going to people's businesses, going to their houses, opening their closets and seeing what's living in there. And that's kind of how it started. So I did that work on my own for about 6-7 years. And then I joined a paranormal investigation team in Portland, Oregon, and have been with them for the better part of the last decade. So I've kind of done it both solo and as a team.
Yeah. Have you ever been scared?
Oh yeah. Yes.
tell us about one of those.
Oh gosh. I have had, I always tell people that the truth is always stranger than fiction. So my very first case that I ever really worked on was in my aunt's basement. And that's where I met what I kind of refer to as the spider girl. There was the spirit of this young girl, perfectly normal young girl who was down there. And she, we kind of pieced together, was trapped down there because in life, when she was, you know, with us, her, I guess, parental figure would lock her down there as means of punishment for extended periods of time. And so she kind of ended up trapped down there. And when we went to go kind of see if we could get her to be freed, we found that she had made friends with the local spider population in that basement. And that basement had a kind of an infestation of wolf spiders. And I don't know if you've ever seen a wolf spider, but these are big spiders.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And so I'm like crawling through, like there was, the way we found her was there was kind of like the basement proper. And then there was a hole in the wall that I crawled through. There was like this little narrow corridor that I went down into kind of another space that was underneath the house. I was not in any way like finished. It was kind of, it was literally underneath the house. And I found her in there in the back corner. And I kind of see her on the other side and I have a flashlight and she's kind of curled into a ball, kind of like with her head on her knees. And she's crying. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to talk to her and see if I can help her. And I get over and I kind of squat down in front of her. I'm giving her space. And I've put the flashlight down at this point, but there's still kind of like enough light that I can kind of see where she is. And I'm trying to talk with her. And I reach out my hand to kind of see if I can kind of maybe make some gentle contact. I'm like, say like, hey, it's going to be okay. And that's when I realized that I should have kind of kept the flashlight beam trained on her, because what I didn't notice is that the spiders had spun this big, dense webbing around where she was to try and protect her and comfort her. And so I reach out my hand and it goes into like this big spongy like thing that they've created. And I am not a fan of spiders myself. it's one of those things that like, you kind of like, okay, like I'm here for a higher purpose. So I'm going to deal with it. I'm just going to muscle through. But at that point is when I was like, no, thank you. I ended up like hightailing it out of there, going back to kind of the main part of the basement where my aunt was. And we end up kind of trying to talk her out of this back area. And as she comes, we feel her kind of come down that corridor. But before she comes all the way out, we kind of feel her stop. And she's kind of, we kind of feel her sort of contemplating. And then out of the hole in the wall crawls the biggest wolf spider we have seen yet, crawls out of it as if though to see if it was safe for her. And what we ended up doing was we ended up trapping it in a jar and taking it upstairs and showing it like outside and it was this beautiful spring day. It was safe. Then we take it back down and then we re-released it into the hole. And after like a moment, you could almost feel her like having a little chat with the spider. Then when he was like, you know, it seems to be okay, she was like, great. And then immediately left and was released, which was my first kind of experience with releasing a trapped spirit. But also that was also the first time I've ran into a spider that was sort of acting as an ambassador for a spirit.
Yeah. Do you think that's always the case, like with trapped spirits, that they're in a painful place from their life, from their actual physical life?
Not always. I do think that that's one of the reasons, but, I run into, all spirits are people. So everyone's going to have their own personal reasons for it. But some of the ones that I come into the most commonly are, either they don't know that they're dead. So sometimes when people die really suddenly, like a getting hit by a bus or something like that, they don't know that they've died. They just kind of keep going. And then other times too, it's things like they want to wait for a loved one. Before they cross over, they're like, oh, I'm waiting for my spouse, or I want to watch over the grandchildren, or whatever it is. They don't realize that they can cross over and still do that from the other side. And sometimes too, people like being a ghost. They think it's fun. And so they avoid it. Or they think that there's some sort of punishment, that they're trying to avoid as well.
So. Do you believe in bad spirits, like super negative entities?
Oh, yes. It's hard for me to label them as bad, because in my experience, I've found that all things have a purpose. Yeah. However, that doesn't mean that they can't be harmful. So for instance, from the perspective of a fly, the spider is evil, it's not something that you like, but also spiders got to eat. So a lot of the times when I find negative entities in homes that are, scaring people, harming people, causing people to be sick, whatever it is, when I find these entities, it's not because they're there to cause chaos and disruption. It's because that's their purpose, is they feed on fear. And so they show up and find a place to prey upon and create fear, because that's what they feed on. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much a good and evil thing so much as it is just a predator prey thing more of the time. Yeah.
Well, so getting back to your book here, do you have any tools or techniques you would offer to aspiring investigators?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the whole book is pretty much around that, but some things that I find are most helpful is always having a really open mind, because again, the truth is stranger than fiction. You're going to run into things that you didn't even think was possible when it comes to how time and space and things like that work with the paranormal. Sometimes those rules are not always as can be. So an open mind is really important. I think that people can do a lot more with pendulum dowsing than they think. So I always encourage people to work with that. And my number one kind of tip for anyone who is a new paranormal investigator is my personal motto, which is paranormal starts with P, as in use the little investigator's room before the investigation starts, because you don't want anything jumping out of a closet at you and you having an issue. So paranormal starts with P.
That is hilarious. Regarding clearing spirits, do you have any practical tips for unwanted energies?
Yes. When it comes to clearing things out, I think number one, the most important thing to do is correctly identify what it is that you're clearing out. Because the different types of hauntings, whether they're like a human earthbound spirit, or if it's like a residual haunting, which is just like a memory or an entity or something like that, they're all going to need to be fixed a different way. So for instance, you can't send a poltergeist into the light. Because a poltergeist is not a spirit. It's something that's created by a person
right.
who's going through something. So you can't just like send it into the light and have it go. You have to actually, that person might need some counseling. You can't send a memory into the light either, the way that you would a human spirit. So if we correctly identify what it is, then we'll know how to fix it. So it really starts with identification.
Okay. You address the subject of ethics and responsibilities with working with the spirit world. I have always felt watching these TV shows that it crosses a line into a kind of insensitivity, if not outright exploitation. And I just maybe you want to speak to that.
Absolutely. Something that's always been really dear to my heart is just having respect for the spirits, because, you know, a lot of these spirits are people that just simply don't have a body. And I find that me just going into a place and getting evidence is not helpful. It's not moving the needle. It's not changing anything. And so to go in there and be terrible and provoke these spirits and really disrespect them for, you know, views on YouTube or whatever it is, I don't feel like is really changing anything in a positive way. So I think it's really important to approach paranormal investigation from a how can I help direction. Because a lot of the times too, when you team up with the spirits, you'll get even better evidence too, if that's what you're looking for, than if you're just there to harass them. And as well, if you're being disrespectful to them, you may end up getting more than you bargain for. Sometimes I have people message me, they're like, you know, when I was a teenager, I broke into this mausoleum to try and, you know, get, you know, evidence and, you know, views or whatever. And now the spirit has been with me for the last 15 years and I can't get rid of it.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Do you ever do cleansings? Like, you know, I mean, I guess some people, the most extreme would be an exorcism, but like for an individual, you know, beyond a space, like when an individual does carry a negative spirit, can you handle that?
I have done that on several occasions. I do go over my methods for that in the book as well, where I talk about removing a spirit from a person, because that does happen. It happens more often than people would think. And so, again, it comes down to correctly identifying it. And then once you do, there are ways of kind of removing it from the person. Sometimes it can be very jarring for people to like have that encounter where they do pick up a spirit that then stays with them. But also I find the psychology of that is a little interesting as well, because one of the main things about any sort of clearing, whether it's a person or a space, is whether or not the person actually wants the spirits to be gone.
Oh.
Because sometimes you can do all the work to clear it, and then the person either for one reason or another wants it back. And sometimes even if the spirit is something that's been very harmful for them or something they haven't really liked, if it's something that's been with you for the past 15, 20, I've had people tell me 30 years before, they don't know what to do with that empty space, and in some ways kind of end up missing it when it leaves.
That's so interesting. I'm a professional tarot card reader, and I had a client once who was being kind of tormented. I would probably, I'm by no means a doctor, but I probably would have labeled him schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. But for all the torment, he said he didn't want to lose it. He wanted that connection, that he felt he was a prophet. He felt he was able to do magical things with the assistants. And I was like, wow, that's a big cost at the expense of your own freedom. Yeah. Well, Jay, it has been a pleasure. How can listeners or viewers reach you if they want to learn more about you or connect?
Absolutely. So I am on social media at the moment. My social media is set to private because I have a lot of people attempting to pretend to be me on Instagram right now.
Oh, yeah.
But you could find me at Oregon_wood_witch. I'm also OregonWoodWitch@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, that's a great way to reach me. And of course, my books are found everywhere that you find books, whether it's on Amazon or directly from the publisher, wherever it is you want to buy them, that's great. Definitely feel free to leave a review too if you do.
All right. And I'd just like to close out saying Llewellyn Publishers is giving a free copy of your book to one of our listeners. So I'm really excited about that. Jay Allen Cross, it's been a pleasure, and hope to talk to you again sometime.
Thank you for having me on.
That was author Jay Allen Cross, who wrote The Witch's Guide to the Paranormal, How to Investigate, Communicate, and Clear Spirits. Stay with us for part three of Mystic Fix when I read some tarot cards. And welcome back to Mystic Fix,
Let's read some tarot cards.
Our spiritual journey tonight will begin.
Can't outrun your fate.
Let me tell you about you.
I know who you are, what you are, and why you have come.
Take a good look at these cards, young man. They contain all the secrets of the universe.
What does it say?
Hi, is this Tanya?
Yes, hi, Julia. So
hi.
Nice to hear your voice.
Hi, great. Yes, I'm happy to be talking to you. So, Tanya, do you have a question for me?
No, actually, I would like to have a general idea of what you see in the cards.
Okay. So let's just do a general. It has to be sort of on the short side, of course.
Of course. Absolutely.
Tuning in to you. All right. So I'm just sort of looking at a little sliver of your life and what's coming up. And what we've got right now is a rough card. It's the Tower. And when the Tower shows up, I often say the foundation is wrong. The building has to come down. It's time to rebuild. It is a card of turmoil, sometimes of upset, sometimes of fear. You know, these are Tower times in the world. And I'm just seeing you in it very clearly. But your next card is the Knight of Pentacles. And the Knight of Pentacles is on his or her horse, riding in the right direction. The card is right side up, holding the gold coin. And so this is about your career. There seems to be opportunities for you in these hard times. It seems like you are going in the right direction. You are doing it well. So I feel really good about that. Your central card is the Page of Swords in reverse. Now, pages tend to be children or young people. And in reverse, they're often in trouble. So I'm looking at what seems to me to be a focus of maybe at-risk youth or kids in trouble or young people in trouble. Because of the way your knight is facing the page, you seem to be at service to these in trouble. Now, occasionally, I have seen people who work with animals who, you know, animals can be at risk, and they sort of show up as children as well. So I don't know your circumstances there, but that does look like a direction that I'm seeing for you, where you're helping somebody in trouble going forward in this year. Now, you also have the Three of Swords in reverse, and this is a card of healing, which is beautiful in this alignment. You know, I've got the tragedy of the Tower. I've got you saying, I'm up for this. I'm at service. I'm working. You're specifically working to help these what's showing to me as young people in trouble. And there's healing from it. So how beautiful is that, right?
And, excellent.
And then your last card in this spread is the Six of Wands. And this is a card of success and winning. So really, Tanya, I could not see a better outcome considering we're starting from the Tower. What kind of work do you do?
Well, I do a lot of creative work, but right now I'm trying to finish a book, my life's work, basically.
Oh, okay.
So and I'm struggling, and I'm really happy to hear what you're saying.
Oh, great. Well, I would say that this is a book with a higher purpose of healing. You know, if you feel that work is your book, it is going to reach people, especially young people, especially people in trouble or at risk. And I feel very good about it. So sometimes when we're in the pain of the Tower, sometimes it's exactly where we need to be to learn and to, you know, get it all down and share it so others can benefit from your growth.
Oh, perfect. This is exactly what I needed to hear. I'm so happy that that's what showed up in my cards, that you're reading for me. I really appreciate hearing all of this.
You're very welcome. Thank you. It was nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Kim.
Hi, Kim. This is Julia from Mystic Fix. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. What's your question, please?
My question is that my employer is going through a bunch of changes, and I'm wondering how that is going to affect me in the future. Let's take a look.
All right. So, Kim, I see you finishing with them. We begin with judgment, which actually looks very good. It's sort of judgment day. It's God rewarding you for your hard work. And it's followed by the world card, which is success, completion, and self-actualization. So it seems to me that you're winding things up this year. And I think you're going to feel very good about it. Whether this is saying, I guess I'm going to retire now. I didn't expect it to be so soon, but, you know, it could be something like that. It could be that you get a really generous severance or package to see you out. But I do feel like you're finishing up, and it is showing this year sooner rather than later, like within the next 6 months. Until then, the center card is the Seven of Wands. A lot of work until then, a lot of things coming at you. You've got the Six of Swords, which is about moving on. And it's a family that's moving on. So I feel like it's more than just you. It could be like the whole family is saying, okay, we're done. We're packing up. We're going to the vacation home or, you know, something like that. And your final card is the Nine of Pentacles, which is really enjoying life. Without the work element here. It's the good life. It's this beautiful woman in a garden. So I feel very good about your direction, but I don't believe you're staying.
That's wonderful. That is really good news.
All right, then. So just tidy up those loose ends. You know, as I said, there's a lot of work to sort of finish it out. And you're great. You're going to be quite happy this time next year.
Great. Thank you so much, Julia.
You bet. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you like what I do, and if you'd like to learn more about how to read tarot cards and what it's like to be a professional tarot card reader, and if you want to get some of the juicy stories that I've encountered in this interesting life of mine, you're going to want to check out my forthcoming book, Tarot Life Lessons. It's all the stories from my journals of what it's like to be a tarot card reader. My publisher is Destiny Books. It will be released November 7th, 2023, but you can pre-order it now on Amazon.com.
Want a vacation like no other? You might want to try a CamaFlight retreat at the Chosen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. The CamaFlight is a combination of acro yoga, Thai massage, and you're going to have to see it to believe it. Check them out on their Instagram page, at CamaFlight, that's at CamaFlight. Mystic Fix would not be possible without CamaFlight. Thanks for spending time with us. Hope to see you next week.